Corinthians chapter 13, and what we're going to do is, this is the only scripture we're going to use that I know of tonight, and I've been thinking a lot about God and love and 1 John. We may turn to 1 John after a while. So I was thinking about love, God's love, and where I was thinking about 1 Corinthians 13. We call that the love chapter, and we read it and we admire it, and you know, the Old King James uses the word charity instead of love, and that seems kind of archaic, but looking at that, charity has the idea of giving and not expecting anything in return. If you give to charity, you give clothes, you give food, you give your time, you know, even like hand the homeless a few dollars, whatever. You're not expecting anything in return. And so I'm starting to think that charity might be the best translation of this agape. We all know the word agape means God's love or unconditional love. And that's good, but we have just used the English word love. Now, in the Greek, there are at least four words for love. And so English just kind of lumps everything together. I love my car. I love my jewelry. I love my banana bread. I love God. I love my husband. But those kinds of love are so different from each other. My jewelry, my banana bread, definitely my banana bread will go away soon. Go with my tummy. But I'll enjoy it. That doesn't make it less enjoyable, but it's not permanent. And some of the other things in my life, they're not permanent. You know, my car or house or jewelry or friends, or people will say, look at this. I say, oh, I love that. But it's not necessarily a permanent thing. Whereas the love for a person, and I love Mary, I love Joseph, I love Meredith, I love John. The love I have for people is a lot stronger. I heard a man one time, he said, it's important to remember to love people and use things. Don't love things and use people. Which I thought that was a cute little expression and a good reminder that people are so much more important than things. Well, where do we get that value? From God. God did create things. He also created people. But he loves people. Things are temporary. This is that scripture in Matthew that said the grass grows and then withers and is thrown into the fire. That's not a picture of God's love for a person. That's for a thing. That's temporary. Amen. It serves its purpose and then it's gone. It's so important. I was noticing children especially may not know the difference. And there's a separation or a divorce. Mother and the daddy are angry at each other and they decide to separate and get a divorce. Stop having this family. Children need to know that they made that decision together. They made the decision not to be a family. It wasn't because he didn't pick up his clothes or she didn't clean the house, and therefore we're rejecting them because of something they did or didn't do. So then the kid thinks, well, if I don't pick up my clothes or I don't clean my room, I might be kicked out just like my dad or like my mother. Right? So it's important to see love for what it is. And of course, 1 Corinthians 13 is a description of God's love. And as I was thinking of the lesson, I realized that verses 1 through 3 are written, they're like examples, so that we know how important love is to God. Honey, what you, now that your mouth is full, sorry, I'll start with Meredith. Meredith, can you read? Oh, you can read? I want someone to read verse 1, only one, okay?
Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, have not love, I've become a sounding brass or clanging cymbal.
So here's the scenario. If I can speak all known languages and all unknown languages, if I do it without love, it's worthless. I notice in the Message Bible, which I like that very much, if I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. In other words, love is so much more important to God than language. And I heard one person say, you know what the success, you know what the most important thing is in a marriage, to have a successful marriage? I said, what? He said, communication. This verse says, even though I communicate perfectly, without love, it's worthless. And then there are spiritual, quote unquote, I'll say that, quote unquote, spiritual people that say, well, I'm closer to God than you are because I speak in tongues. And this verse is saying, it's worthless without love. And we know that love prefers another person when we go on down. So bragging means I'm without love. I was bragging on myself. Oh, we're ready for verse 2. Don't take it back, Meredith, because you're reading. Read verse 2, please.
And understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And I have, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing.
Amen. And so here's another point of spirituality. May I say it that way? Some people say, well, I'm so spiritual that I can tell this mountain to move. I'm so spiritual, I know all mysteries. In fact, I have prophecy just oozing out of every pore of my body. Therefore, I'm better. And this verse says, no, you're not. Without love, all of those gifts, all of those abilities are useless without love. That's God's opinion. God said love is so important. And I notice in this one, it says, if I speak God's word with power, revealing his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. That's how important love is to God. It's more important than faith. Now, there are faith people who will say, what? Because they believe faith is the most important thing. But Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 says, faith without works, faith without love is dead. It's worthless. Without love, your faith is nothing. Amen? And so now we're going to go to verse 3. I guess, John, can you read verse 3, please?
And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my water to the burn, but have not love, it helps me nothing.
Again, saying all these outward works that people do to show their humility, show their power, show their something that they have, all these outward works without love are worthless. They're nothing. They're no good. They're powerless. And you might say, well, there's power in moving a mountain. Yes, but in God's view, you're still powerless without love, without this love of God. And when you got saved, when you asked Jesus to be your Savior, that reminds me of a parenthesis. I had the boys at the local swimming pool on Monday. So that's always kind of a feat on my part, because I have two boys wanting to do their own kind of thing, and I'm trying to keep them afloat. So Josiah puts on a life jacket that's a little bit better. And Josiah's playing in the water and jumping in, and he says, if you have Jesus in your heart and you die, if you die and you have Jesus, if you have Jesus, he said about 14 times, three times. If you have Jesus in your heart and you, I said, that is so right. You know, this teaching, you don't expect these teaching moments to come up like that.
And I should have,
you like to go swimming? And I should have said, do you have Jesus in your heart? Because I could have led him to the Lord right there in the pool. But it startled me so much. Stay afloat. You're a champion in the swimming pool? I'm glad. Please stay a champion. But more important than that, have Jesus in your heart. Right? That's right. We have Jesus in our hearts. So I was just going to say about that, having Jesus in your heart or being born again, when you're born again, that very instant, God, through the Holy Spirit, comes to live in your spirit. I'm not sure where your spirit is. I always point right here, kind of the middle. It could be anywhere, but I'm pointing here. You have God through the Holy Spirit. Now he lives inside of you. I can't understand that. I cannot explain it. It's just true. And when God lives inside of you, 1 John 4:8, God is love. So love lives inside of you, right? You've got God in you. You've got love in you. Now, whether you develop that, whether you give him room, whether you give him place, that's a constant experience. Some people call that holiness, living a life of giving God place in your life, giving love room. And so sometimes, you know, something happens, a person says something or does something to me, or it affects me in some way, then I have a choice. Am I going to let the love of God flow to that person that obviously does not deserve it? Or am I going to express my own feelings? I was reading a book by Brother Hagin, and he was saying church invited him to come. It wasn't actually scheduled, but they said, please, this one week, come to our church and do a meeting every night, preach every night for us. Of course, this is kind of the old days. There wasn't a lot of entertainment. So a lot of people went to church at night when there was a revival or a special meeting. And he said, okay, so it's he and his wife, and the pastor said, you can stay at our house. I said, okay, well, thank you. So after the meeting finished on Sunday morning and Sunday night at the other church, he then drove to this town. He and his wife drove to this town, went to the pastor's house. The pastor greeted him and said, here's your room. Say goodnight. They thought, ooh, he didn't have any supper, but...
Does anyone want a little ice?
But it's okay. No, we'll eat tomorrow. So they got up, and the pastor and his wife got up real early and left. Didn't even say Hagin's got up. Hello. And so Brother Hagin and his wife thought, well, they'll be back in a minute. Maybe they had an emergency, and they'll be back in a minute. They didn't come back. The morning went by, no food. Lunch, no food. Afternoon, no food. Time for church. No food, which that wasn't too much of a problem. Brother Hagin doesn't like to eat before he ministers. Well, we'll probably go. And he always was making excuses in his mind or to her. He said, they'll probably be here, or we'll eat after church or something. After church, the people came home from church and went straight to bed. No food. They didn't have anything to eat. Well, this is now Tuesday. We're at Tuesday. And Tuesday, same situation. The pastor and his wife left early in the morning, no food, no breakfast, and I think it was on Tuesday, finally, the brother Hagin said, well, Aretha, go in the kitchen, see if you can find anything in there. She said, there's one hot dog and two eggs and one piece of bread. So he said, boil the eggs, you and I'll have an egg, and we'll have the hot dog and half the bread. So on Tuesday, that was what they got to eat. And same situation. Wednesday, same situation. And he picked up the phone to call the pastor's, I think they call him district superintendent, call the person over them. He knew that person real well, and he was going to say, this is not right. This is what these people are doing to us. You've got to call them and get on to them. But as he picked up the phone and started to dial, inside of him, the love of God came up. And he thought, I don't think I'll say anything, but I don't want to ruin this pastor's life and this career here. I'm just not going to say anything. They'll probably come in tonight and feed us anyway. So, now, we're to Thursday. Thursday, there wasn't anything in the kitchen either. So he picked up that phone and he got a few more numbers, and the love of God came up inside of him and said, no, I'm not gonna do it. And about that time, a neighbor knocked on the door and said, I'm a neighbor and I go to the church, and I know you've been here all week, and I've noticed that the pastor leaves and doesn't come back. And are y'all okay? You need something to eat? And they said, well, we're okay. And he said, well, come here, this is where I, this is my house, pointed down the street. House when I'm gone, but the back porch has a freezer. I don't lock the back porch. Anytime you want to, go get in that freezer, get what you want to, and bring it and cook it. So you'll have some food. If you want to, just offer. So God took care of him. But what I'm saying is, he had the opportunity to allow the love of God. See, God loved that pastor and his wife. Who knows why they were acting so unfriendly?
Unhospitable.
Exactly. Not a host situation. But God loved them, and God loved Brother Hagin, and he said, I'm going to let the love of God flow, even though they missed a few meals. Amen? And so what I'm saying is, the moment we receive Jesus, we open our heart, we're born again, we say, Jesus is Lord. God comes by his Spirit to live within us. And it says in 1 John 4:8, God is love. So if God comes to live within you, which he does, through the Holy Spirit, then love comes to live within you. And so whether you yield to that love of God or whether you yield to your own desires is up to you on a constant basis. Amen? So we read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I brought lots of Bibles. Would you like to use my message Bible?
Sure.
You know, it doesn't mark very clearly, so yes. We're going to be right here. And you have a Bible. What do you have?
ESV.
Oh, good. So we have all different translations. And so I want to get to the point of 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1, 2, 3, gives you scenarios to show you how important love is to God. It's more important than tongues, more important than martyrdom, more important than giving to the poor, more important than faith, more important than moving mountains, more important than anything to God is love. And I just want to hammer that home to us tonight. Now, beginning with verse 4, we have a description, or we have an explanation or a definition of love. And so, you already read again. Meredith, you read verse 4, please.
Love is patient. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude.
Amen. So name them again. Patient.
Patient, kind, doesn't envy, doesn't boast, not arrogant or rude.
Okay. So instead of saying love, we've done this exercise before, we could say God. God is patient and kind. God is not arrogant. God does not boast. God is not rude. I've forgotten what. So this is what love is not. Love is, or love is not. So if we want to allow the love of God to work in our lives, this is what we will be. And we could go through and put our own name. And I was listening to Brother Coleman. He brought out this wonderful point. He said, if God is in you, which you're born again, then love is in you, then you are these things. So you can say, love is patient, and so am I. Love is kind, and so am I. Well, I can think of many times I wasn't patient or kind. But that's the devil trying to separate me by shame. That was a great sermon you preached, honey. Separate me by shame from the truth of God, from the presence of God. Because if I start thinking, oh, you know, I was rude, and I wasn't patient, and I did these things wrong, and I'm pulling myself back. You see, I'm pulling back from the presence of God. God's not moving. I'm moving myself back. Right? But I could say, I've never thought this before. And if someone told me, I'd have said, I don't have, that's audacious. That's putting yourself forward to say, I'm patient. God's patient, and so am I. Well, I can think of things I'm not. But he's saying by faith, by belief in God's power in us, we should be able to say, not by experience, but by faith, I am patient. I am kind. I am not rude. I am not, what are we reading?
Arrogant.
Yeah, arrogant. You have. What did you read there, Brother Phil? Verse 3. 4, please.
Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude.
Well, that's the first part of five, was basically.
Say the same thing, just a few different wordings. And I think that's so wonderful to know, it's okay for me to say, I have God, therefore I have love, therefore I am patient. I have love, therefore I am kind. I have love, therefore I'm not jealous. I'm not rude. I don't lift myself up. Let's go on to verse, I don't know if you can tell where it starts, but verse 5. It's probably right in there too.
Can I just start here just in case? Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for itself. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Love.
That's awesome. That's your good. Love doesn't strut. So I can say, I've got God. I have got love. Therefore, I don't strut. Me a long time. And you know a few times I've strutted. Or a few times that I have not endured long, or a few times that I've been a little arrogant and inflated with pride. You've known me long enough to see me do those things, but I'm saying by faith, the love of God is in me, therefore I refuse to be condemned over the past. I refuse to let these things separate me from the power of God. See, when you're calling on God's power on your behalf, Lord, I need a healing. My child is hurt. My whatever, someone, who was it? Oh, someone I know got hacked and all their money was through the, I don't know how this all works, but this person went out of town and said they had her credit card, which they didn't, and charged like $800 worth of stuff, which came, her debit card, which came out of her bank, right? So hacked is really all I know how to say. But, okay, so in this situation, what can we call on? We can call on God's power. And the devil's going to say, you cannot call on God's power because you're not patient, you're proud, you're rude, you've done this, you've done that. And I have to be able to say, no, devil, I can call on God's power because I am love.
That's right.
Got it?
That's right.
Got it?
Yeah.
And first, let's turn over a culture place and turn over to first. Were you going to say something? I may not have a stop in, so go ahead.
In Romans 5:5.
Yes, yes.
Listen. Now, hope does not disappoint us, but comes to love you of God and has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So, I think what you said, but you replace the words like patience, you know. I have patience because God loves me. So I can say the Holy Spirit poured out patience in my heart. The Holy Spirit poured out kindness in my heart.
Good.
The Holy Spirit poured out meekness.
Good, good. We'll go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. And that verse, which I'll get Brother Philip to read, just a few words, not the whole verse. First John 4:16.
We know how much God loves us when we have put our trust in His love.
Amen. Stop right there, please. Meredith, will you read 4:16, just the first few words, please?
I sure will. So we have come to know and to believe the love of God.
So if you don't know, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I believe God's love. Yeah, it's good. It's great. God's love. Well, do you have God's power to move a mountain? Well, no, not right now, because a while ago, John and I were driving, and I got mad at him and kissed him. I want to kiss you, though. Anyway, so I let these things that are not God hinder me from using the power of God. See what I'm saying? But if 1 Corinthians 4:16, just like you read, if I know and believe. Now, if I believe something, you cannot talk me out of it. I believe it. And even evidence to the contrary, I'm stuck on this. I believe it. I believe John loves me. Amen. I believe it. I believe various things in my life, and I believe God loves me. I know and believe. Well, if you know and believe, you can't be talked out of it. So the devil says, yeah, God's love and God loves you. But, you know, when you were going 80 miles an hour in a 30 mile an hour zone, and you saw that policeman, you stomped on the brake, and the person behind you almost hit you, that wasn't love. You can't get God to love you if you're going to act like that. And in the natural, say, that's right. God, I can't get God to love me. See how wrong I am to say that. I'm wrong to agree with the devil. Here's what I should agree with. Okay, I went 80 in the 30. I shouldn't have. Stopped on the brake. I saw the police. Well, whatever this makeup scenario is. I might have done those things, but that does not stop the love of God that's inside of me from working on my behalf. I repent, Father, for my driving habits in Jesus' name. Okay, so he's going to try to talk you out. Let's go on to verse 5. Who can read? You already read it. Your turn. Oh, he's in a different place. Back to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5.
Or rude, it does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong.
Praise God, let's stop right there. Wow, that's God. Keeps no record. That's another way of saying he has cast your sin as far as the east is from the west. That's another way of saying your sins are buried in the deep sea. That's another way of saying he blotted out the handwriting that was against you. It's just another reinforcement of that same way. Keeps no record of wrongs. Well, if I want to let that love inside me flow, I don't keep record of wrongs. So if you come to me and say, oh, listen, Sister Elizabeth, I'm sorry. This really happened. If I say, John, I'm sorry, I didn't even see you fall down last week. I certainly keep no record of wrongs. But if he were keeping record of wrongs, he'd say, you didn't even notice what happened. Why were you? He was playing with Joseph and trying to get. The point is, we should let all those things be gone. I don't remember this. I don't remember that. Do you remember? No.
Well, I'm sorry. I made you blush. I'm sorry.
Keeps no record of wrongs. Forgive me.
Remember.
Oh, forgive me.
You got loads of wrong cars. To keep records.
You can keep the records that I didn't notice. You didn't
bring me from.
Oh, praise God. But what I'm saying is love is so important to God. It's like crucial. Now, here's another such a cool thing. The love that we have in us, we cannot make it happen unless we have God in us. We can't. I don't care how many dollars you give to worthwhile causes. I don't care how many trips you take to third world countries or how many wells or how much food or how much good that you do, it's not love unless it's from the heart of God. And when you have the heart of God operating in you, there's no mountain too big. There's no sin too hindrance. There's no problem. And I was thinking about this today, which is why I wanted to teach this lesson. If you have things in your life and it seems like your prayers are not being answered about a certain thing, I have a few of those. I'm praying about something. For years, I prayed about this or that. How come it's not answered? So I go through my list. Am I in unforgiveness? Well, possibly. am I loving? Well, I think I am. But normally, it's not being answered because the devil has talked me out of believing the love. If I want to answer to prayer, it's going to come because God loves me. I don't care if it's my income tax that need paid, which thank God, pay those. Hallelujah. Or if it's a skin knee, or if it's something you even more serious. The answer's going to come because God loves me. If I'm praying, the answer comes because God loves me. Even if I pray for you, pray for myself, pray for something else, pray for people to be saved, why are those answers coming? If it's about me, it's coming because God loves me. If it's about someone else, it's because God loves me and them. So if the devil can talk me out of believing God loves me, I'm toast. Go back and Eve. Perfect living conditions. Perfect life. Perfect wisdom and knowledge. Perfect everything. Except they didn't believe God loved them. So when the accuser said, did God say that you're not supposed to eat or touch this tree? He just doesn't want you to have the best. He doesn't want you to have the best. And if he can talk you into believing God is withholding from you, you will not get your prayers answered. I feel very passionate about this. So that's why I want to bring this lesson tonight. Always, just right now, make a promise to God and yourself and ask the Holy Spirit for help to believe always that God loves you. So many, you can go back to Peter. The disciples and Peter in a boat. They know something about water and boats. And the water's about to capsize the boat. They don't know what to do. Jesus is in the back asleep. Finally, Peter goes back and says, Master, don't you care? Don't you care? Oh, that means I don't trust you to love me. And there are other things in that story. I won't go into all the details, but I'm just saying, let's go down to verse 13. And so faith, this is Amplified, and so faith, love, hope abide. Faith, conviction and belief, respecting man's relation to God and divine things. Hope, joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. Love, true affection for God and man, growing out of God's love for and in us. These three, but the greatest of these is love. So I just encourage you as you're praying, Lord, I'm praying for this situation. I believe you love me. I believe you love me. And you're going to deliver me from this situation because you love me. Now, if it were your child or your grandchild, someone you love, and you had the capability, you had the power, you'd rush in. I'll take care of that. Most of the time, we don't have the power. We don't have the capability. But we've got God. And we say, God, I'm depending on your love. I pray many times. We need mercy and grace in this situation. But I'm going to change, and I'm going to start saying, I believe your love. I believe your love, and your love will take care of this situation. Your love. That's all I have to say. You want to say something?
I'm reading the scripture that you brought out. See, it says, therefore there is no fear in love. But perfect love cast out fear. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because we know that faith works without love. So that's what Satan, you've got to do. He's got to get us into fear, so he moves us in that fear of torment. Be without the answer to that problem. Well, God didn't answer this because I did this, or because I did this wrong, or I sinned, or whatever. And yet, love is not even looking at what you've done. He wants you to open the door of faith so he can come in and fix it. But the fear moves us from the torment to unbelief.
The root of fear is, I'm afraid God doesn't love me. Think of last week, Daniel going into the lion's den. Does God love me, or does God not? He wasn't afraid of the lions as much as he was, the temptation wasn't to fear the lions as much as the temptation was to fear, does God love me? Will God protect me? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Let's put this in the context of this verse. So he says, because fear involves torment. So what was the king doing? He was threatening to torment them in that fear. But Daniel knew God's love, so he went, my God will deliver me.
Yes.
That's my point. Because he said, you can't tell me, don't be lying to me. That my point is, and I didn't realize this, that fear works unbelief in our lives. I'm not going to pay my bills this month. I'm afraid the car won't get me to work. I'm afraid the air conditioner is going out in the house. I'm afraid that the sink dishwasher is going out. So we're always afraid of something. And that works on belief, which allows the door of unbelief to open for the devil to work his works. So that was the perfect thing you brought out there. I don't know much enough to study some more, and I think this is a major key. And we know that faith works by love. So if I'm shut down love, the door's closed, God can't get to me. Even though he loves me, they give this son to me. He can't get to me. But I put the shield on unbelievable. And so the shield of faith would open the door for him to come in and bless me.
I had something that's kind of related more to what you were talking about to begin with. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. When it's talking about love is patient, I'm trying to think what I want to say. Love is patient and kind, and goes on to describe everything that love is, and you know, the devil trying to lie to you and tell you that you can't expect anything from God because, well, you're not patient, you're not kind. But 2 Corinthians 5:17 says we're a new creation in Christ. So obviously we've had that love shadow brought in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And just because we don't always act that way, we have an explanation here for it in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. It says to put off the old self. So it says sometimes we're going to have to do that. But obviously, because we have to do that sometimes doesn't negate the fact that we are a new creation and that we do have his love in us.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't negate the truth. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm. You know, you can teach a dog to make all kinds of noises, but when you get through, he's still a dog. And that's what I'm pointing out, is I'm born again, new creation, child of God. And I may sin or do something stupid, but it doesn't change that.
That's right.
He's faithful and just to forgive us.
That's right.
All of our sin. I'm in a new category.
Yeah.
I was a dead man in Adam. Now I'm in Christ. And the only way you can get out of Christ is be born somewhere else. I was born again from dead to life. It took a miracle to recreate me to now I'm a category of like Jesus or in Jesus. So yes. I would have to be born again to somewhere else.
Yes.
So I make a mistake and then change it to the end. I mean, people think, oh no, you sin, it's over. And then, like you pointed out, well, that's what the devil does. Sin, that's a lie. Yeah.
Just because you sin, it doesn't make you a sinner.
Right, that's correct.
It's like being a child of certain parents. If you do badly, you're still their child.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Or a conversely, if they are evil and you're good, they're still your parents, but you're not subject to their ways. Well, let's finish with this. I'm back at 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7. Love bears all things. Okay, that's me.
That's me.
Love believes all things.
That's me.
Love hopes all things.
That's me.
Love endures all things.
That's me.
That's me. Because I am in Christ and He is, love is in me.
That moment that the Holy Spirit shed abroad in our heart. You could say, shed abroad in the Spirit.
Let's pray. Holy Father, we stand up knowing that you are in us. That means love is in us. Love is working in us. Love is keeping us. Love is directing us. Love is helping all of our actions, all of our thoughts, all of our words. We receive your love, and your love is changing or transforming us more and more and more and more. Not transforming our spirit, that's already recreated, but transforming our mind, our will, our emotions into the image of Christ. And Lord, as we pray this week for various things that come up, let us pray in the knowledge and the belief that the love of God will answer our prayer. The love of God. We are not tormented thinking that you don't love us, but we are in joy and hope and faith, expectation, knowing that your love is secure, immovable, unchangeable, that you don't fail and you don't change. You love us, and your love will bring the answer to what we pray. Thank you in Jesus' name.